Dictionary.com defines social media as websites and other online means of communication that are used by large groups of people to share information and develop social and professional contacts. The three leading social media sites today are, number one, of course, is Facebook. Facebook claims to have 1,280,000,000 registered users. Twitter comes in at number two, claiming to have 645,750,000 users. And LinkedIn, which is actually a business or professional networking site, claims to have 200 million registered users. Now, beyond those numbers that I'm giving you, there are all kinds of other numbers that, and some of them I don't even understand the terminology so far as unique users and unique visitors per certain length of time. And of course, those are means and ways of measuring how many people are actually going online and accessing those particular sites. But at any way you look at it, if you consider those numbers in those three of the top however many there are, and the title slide you see doesn't even have a representation of even half of the recognized social media sites, you have to own up to the fact that social media today is, even though we'd never heard of it as recently as 15, 20 years ago, it today has bloomed and blossomed and turned into something that I'm not sure anybody could have ever anticipated just how big and how widespread social media would be in the entire world. Now, I'm not in the business of recruiting users for any of these or any sites of social media, but our discussion might mean a little bit more to some of you who are not familiar with social media if I give you just a real quick explanation of how this works. And it's just a very few basic, simple steps. Number one, you would create and write a profile about yourself, listing your past and present accomplishments, events, interests that you have, anything that you might want somebody else to know about you is put into your profile. You can make it just as brief or just as lengthy as you would like, and I'll leave it at that. Number two, you post that information to the internet through that social media website organization that you have chosen to use, and that information is shared with other people, that information about you, so that they can know and get to know you if they don't already, and so forth. You're generally in control of who all can see your profile information. Different websites use different means of control in that regard, but even with some of the strictest measures, ultimately, you become really familiar to people really quickly. And then number three, you read other people's information and you post information that they can read. And so in that means you converse with them, increasing your circle of friends and contacts to tremendous numbers. And what all this has accomplished is to make the world a much smaller place for everybody who is involved. And current statistics suggest that as many as 60% of Americans have accounts on social media. As many as 60% of all Americans have some kind of social media account. Now I want to put that to a test. And I want to ask, if you do not look at social media or use social media in any way, would you please raise your hand? About 5 or 6 people in a group of people this size. That pretty well bears out what I'm reading about social media and the statistics. And listen, I'm not trying to say that there's anything wrong or that there's everything wrong with social media, nor am I pushing it necessarily. I just want us to take an objective look at some things, and I'm calling it the good and the bad of social media. But you can see, obviously, this is something that, even though, you know, there's not a word in the Bible about Facebook, and you don't find that word occurring anywhere in the inspired book, but there is a lot of effect that something that has become this widespread and something that calls in the participation of so many people. Well, we'd be very foolish if we didn't readily admit that this has tremendous implications, both for good and for bad. And so I'd like for us to take a look at some of those things this evening. And I know somebody's thinking, oh boy, he's preaching about Facebook again. No, I'm not. In fact, if you'll look, you'll see it's been a couple of years since I preached that infamous sermon on Facebook. And it had been a couple of years before that I had preached the first one. And so, really, if you think that every couple of years just touching on this subject in a passing way is too much, then I think you and I need to sit down together and talk about some things might help us both to come to a better understanding of what's really important. But when you consider the speed with which the internet is growing and the access that it gives to people all over this world in unprecedented ways, and how much it has progressed in the last 10 years, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any other subject that we could talk about that has come as quickly and as powerfully to the forefront of the attention of a majority of people in this world. And so I think part of our responsibility is to take a serious look at all things like that and look at them from a very serious standpoint. And so the purpose of this lesson is not to put down or to find fault with anybody who's involved in social media, but to discuss this subject in a manner that I think will help to remind us just how important Christian character is. And before we actually get into details about the subject, there's something that I'd like for us to start with, which really ought to be the underlying foundation of most anything these days that we talk about, but particularly something that can become so compelling and powerful and even invasive in people's lives as something like this. I think there are some vital Christian principles that we need to keep in mind anytime we think about or talk about something like this. Now, at the risk of seeming like I'm oversimplifying this, I'm going to try to be as plain as I possibly can, and I'm going to, with this particular point, borrow some terminology that some of us have been familiar with all of our lives. And the first point is, be careful, little eyes, what you see. You remember that little song that we learned in Sunday school and Vacation Bible School decades ago? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. That is such an important principle that God does not intend for us to have the liberty or the right to have things flashed before our eyes in an uncontrolled way. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, Jesus said this. And it's unfortunate, I think, that this passage comes at the conclusion of such an oft-quoted and very familiar passage about laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, thieves break not through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then the next couple of verses, here's what the Lord said. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, some people say that's a little bit confusing because that terminology seems to be a little bit archaic. If you remember the fact that even from of old, a window was often referred to as a light. And in fact, even now, we will describe a window by how many individual divisions or panes in it, and we might say that's a four-light window. Doesn't mean it lets in four times as much light as any of the others. It means it has four different panes of glass in it. And so it's always been terminology that applied to windows, and I think Jesus uses it that way. He says the window of the body is the eye. And so if your eye is single, or as in single-minded and focused on the right thing, then the whole body, and of course in this particular discussion, the physical term body is actually a representation of the whole spiritual being. And so if your body, or if your eye is single-minded, focused on the right thing, then your whole being shall be full of and characterized by light. Remember, the Bible tells us over and over again, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Jesus came bringing light to a world of darkness. So God and Jesus and truth and righteousness throughout the Bible are terms that are applied and illustrated by light. If your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye be evil, if that which comes in through the window of the eyes is evil, then the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, if whatever comes into you is darkness, sin, how great is that darkness? You know, when you break it down and look at it in that way, it becomes rather simple, doesn't it? We need to be very careful what we allow into our hearts through the window of our eyes. Or in the words of the little song, be careful, little eyes, what you see. I'm reminded of what Job said as he expressed his integrity, which had been called in question by his friends. In Job chapter 31, in verse 1, Job said, "But I made a covenant or an agreement with my eyes not to look with desire at a young woman." Job understood the connection and the principle that connects together what the eyes see and what the heart generates as far as thoughts and intentions and even desires. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. You've already guessed now. The second one is be careful, little ears, what you hear. In Philippians 4, verse 8, the Apostle Paul reminds us of the importance of dwelling on certain things, and it just stands to clear reason that if you don't let it in through your ears, you don't have to dwell on it. The good stuff that needs to be dwelt on is the kind of stuff that we should really seek to hear. And he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on or dwell on these things. And, of course, number three, be careful, little lips, what you say. Remember, these are principles that we apply beyond just the words that our lips speak, because many times my keyboard becomes an extension of my lips, does it not? We shouldn't have to be reminded that we do not have the right to express ourselves in any way that we may please. Oh yes, the Constitution of the United States says we have that unalienable right, the right of expression. But God says, wait a minute now. So far as I'm concerned, you don't have the right to say just anything that you might want to say. Some things we might say might just factually be wrong. Sometimes we might be tempted to say some things that it would just really be better to leave that unsaid. Sometimes some things that we say may really incriminate us. Sometimes the things that we say may be very hurtful to someone else. And so God says, in summary, you don't have the right to say just anything. And Paul reminds us of that in Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no unwholesome speech proceed from your mouth. Yes, these three little principles, three big principles really, are things that many of us have known all of our lives and learned from the time that we were children. Can we not agree then that these standards must also apply on a computer screen or a cell phone screen every bit as they apply in real life? I'm not sure why, but it seems that some folks think that no rules apply when you get on the computer. But they do, don't they? Think about all of the internet issues that would be eliminated if we could just honor all of these principles, whether we're live or on the net. Now, let's move on to the second point, which I'm calling great opportunities. Social media provides some outstanding opportunities for, number one, expressing yourself. And I'm not suggesting that in a bad way. Making friends, contacting people, influencing them. Think about our influence. Jesus said in Matthew 5, beginning at verse 14, you're the light of the world, and a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but rather on a lampstand or a candlestick, that it might give light unto all that are within the house. Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus expresses a clear and simple basic truth A light is made to shine. And you don't light a candle or a lamp and then hide it. That's not the purpose of it. And he said, we are the light of the world. And so everywhere our light can go as Christians, there is the potential for good influence. Now think about it for a minute. Because of the internet and social media, our light now has the ability to go unprecedented distances. And if we can use it in that way, then it's a tremendous opportunity for expressing ourselves in an influential way. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, Peter reminds us of some things that not only do we need to know about ourselves, but these are some things that other folks need to know about us. He says, "For you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You know, it's almost as though Peter is saying, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people, peculiar people for God's own possession. Now act like it. Use that influence. Proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness. And that leads us to our second point, that these great opportunities are provided for us with social media and the internet, opportunities for evangelizing others. Now here's where I'm afraid a lot of folks think they ought to get a pass because, oh, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. Want to bet? God says you are. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before the Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." You know, it's not enough just to say nice things. We need to say his name. We need to acknowledge him in our conversations with other people. We need to get out of the habit of trying to hide the fact that we're Christians. Your posts can go farther than you ever dreamed. In fact, your posts on social media will go beyond your circle of friends really quickly. Use that. Post a Bible verse. Give a link to a sermon. Put out an advertisement for a gospel meeting. That's right. Use it to evangelize. There's a third thing that I want to suggest to you, and this is something that so many of you folks already know about. Encouraging friends. Fact is, people need people. If you study Romans chapter 15, well, actually it's chapter 12 and verse 15 that I was going to call attention to, you'll see how in Romans chapter 12, Paul calls attention to the fact that we depend upon one another. And in verse 15, he says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." Social media provides an excellent opportunity to do this. In fact, it has become the preferred method of many people that I'm aware of to make others aware of what they're struggling with. It's kind of unusual if every week or two somebody doesn't come to me and say, hey, are you aware of such and such that has happened to so and so? No, where'd you hear that? Got it off of Facebook. That's the preferred method that some folks are using to let folks know what is going on. Now listen, we don't need to know if you've got a loose tooth, okay? But if you've lost a friend or a loved one, your friends can help. There are a lot of things that we can learn about, and as a result, encourage one another with. These are just some of the opportunities of social media. Number three, yeah, you knew it was coming, didn't you? Clear dangers. I want to express again this point in the simplest ways that I know how. Here are some dangers. Number one, too much time. Social media can absorb just as many hours as you are willing to pour into it. But understand me clearly on this now. Even if it were used every moment in a spiritually helpful way, it would not justify the time that some people are putting into social media. Because you see, there are a lot of things that need to be done. There are things that need to be done that cannot be accomplished on the internet, even with a camera. In Ephesians 5, verse 16, Paul reminds us to make the most of your time. Time is precious and hours are in short supply. Things like studying God's Word and praying to the Heavenly Father and acting upon by actually doing things for other people, those are events and activities that take time away from the computer. And so don't fall into the trap, even though social media has some good things about it and some potential opportunities, don't forget that it can become a time stealer. Anything that we are totally immersed in will soon take over, and such is not pleasing to God. Number two, there is a danger of too much you in social media. How much can you express about yourself and what you're doing and what you think and what you want and what you're expecting before you realize that it's become all about nothing but you? And the fact is, some folks have learned that no matter how wild or how ridiculous a post may be that they put on their page, there's always going to be a group of people who are going to chime in and approve it and like them and validate what they've said. And so some people seemingly know no bounds as to what they'll put on a Facebook page. There's something about the anonymity of the computer that seems to remove all inhibitions from some folks, even the healthy ones. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others." I can't think of a single passage that would be better than that one to have on your Facebook page. My life is not about me. Or at least it shouldn't be. Number three, too much others. Well, now, wait a minute. I thought you were talking a few minutes ago about how good Facebook or social media can be in reaching others and influencing others. That's true. I did. God expects me to be a helper, an encourager, and even a teacher, but God never gave me the right to be a meddler. Some folks cruise social media just looking for an issue to weigh in on in order to get their name or their opinion out there in front of everybody and express their 2 cents worth, even though it may be about something that's absolutely none of their business. I'm convinced that some people are purely addicted to meddling and gossiping on social media. I've heard it said, since I live on a dead-end road out in the country, pretty close little community, but even at that, I've heard it said more than once, if you're wondering about what's going on down the road from your house, just get on Facebook. It seems sometimes that there isn't anything that some people will put on Facebook, and there never seems to be a shortage of folks who really enjoy it. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, Jesus tells us not to be judgmental, not to judge others without wisdom, because he says, with the same way you judge, you will be judged. And it's in that passage that he says, how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, and behold, a log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. There's one final point that I want to make, and I touched on it just a minute ago. There is a great danger in Facebook and other things like that of too much anonymity. It is unfortunate that some folks choose to use social media as a means to express criticism of people and things that they would never deliver in a face-to-face encounter. It just somehow seems empowering to know that you're out of reach of somebody, and so you can say whatever you want to about them. Remember, who sees all this stuff? Millions and millions of people. And remember that a lot of those folks know you. And some of them know you're part of us. And so be careful. In fact, be careful what you see, what you hear, what you say. The good and the bad of social media. Powerful tool, but a terrible weapon. Let's use it wisely. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we sing this song to encourage you and invite you to respond as we stand and sing.